The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
This past year, I was at a committee meeting with Raquel, and I noticed that she was nervously checking her phone, and so I asked her what was wrong. And she explained that her sheep had given birth just a couple days earlier, but that one of these lambs, just a day old, had escaped from the sheep pen where they were keeping it and was now lost. And a year-old lamb can only survive so long on its own, so she was deeply worried about it. Now, there is nothing more biblical than a lost sheep, so of course we prayed for the lamb. And the next day, Raquel texted the committee that the lamb that was lost had been found, and we rejoiced. Now, this past week, I went out to the Massa farm to get sheep footage for all the sheep scriptures we heard today. And as I was out there, I asked Raquel if she would show me where the sheep had been, or where the lamb had been lost and where it had been found. And so she showed me this beautiful green pasture with tall grass and blossoming mustard and pea flowers. That's the type of place where they had tried to keep the lamb. And then very reluctantly, she showed me where they found the lamb. I say very reluctantly because she kept apologizing as she led me past worn-out farm equipment and a stack of broken crates, until eventually we came to this dark crevice between two rusting silos, and she said, "This is where we found him. It's not very pretty." And I thought to myself, how appropriate. Because it's not very pretty, the places where we lose ourselves and trap ourselves. You see, the lamb had been given a green pasture full of sunshine and a mother with which to care for it. But instead, it ran away from all that and found a dark, barren crevice in which to trap itself all alone. And we do the same. Now, I say this as someone who right now in no way feels trapped by this pandemic, right? I may be frustrated at all the new technology I have to learn, but the truth of the matter is, on my own time, what I did before the pandemic was go on hikes, read books, and play games, and what I do during the pandemic in my own time is go on hikes, read books, and play games. I am in no way trapped right now, and I realize this is because I am very fortunate. Right? I am very fortunate that I am someone who enjoys spending time by myself and is energized by it. I am fortunate that I have a comfortable home and a loving wife with whom I share it. I am fortunate in that I have a stable job, and I am very fortunate to live in Chico, California, where not only was it reported this past week that we have the lowest number of COVID cases per 100,000 people anywhere in the nation, but also where we are surrounded by this vast, beautiful wilderness. And I am keenly aware that in other parts of the country, people are not so fortunate. I was keenly aware of this 2 weeks ago when on my staycation, I went on a lot of hikes around the North State, a lot of day hikes around the North State with my wife, Annalisa. And as we would go, we would see waterfalls and mountaintops and beautiful meadows full of flowers, and I would want to take pictures. And I would be excited to share them on Facebook, but at the same time that I was excited, I was also terrified. I was excited because where we live is breathtakingly gorgeous, and I wanted to share that beauty with my friends. But I was also terrified because I am keenly aware that I have friends in places like New York, where the conditions are very different from what we are experiencing here in Chico. And I was afraid that if I were to post these pictures publicly, my friends in New York would see it and they would say, "Are you gloating that you have it so much better than us?" Or would they say, "Are you not taking this seriously by going outside instead of staying in your house?" I was literally in beautiful pastures, with sun shining on my face, my loving wife beside my side, and my mind wouldn't pay attention to any of it because it was lost in a dark crevice of imaginary Facebook debates. Now, I want to be clear. When I finally posted those photos, no one denounced me for going outside and enjoying the beauty of the earth. And in fact, this past week, I had two friends from New York call me. One of them has COVID symptoms and is being tested this weekend. Another one of them had someone in her apartment building die of the coronavirus. But neither of them begrudged me that I had a life that was not threatened in the ways that theirs was. No one begrudged me the fact that I could go outside and not have people around me for miles. Because they're good friends. And even today's lesson from 1 Peter, which says, look, if you are suffering for doing good, God approves. Let your suffering be a gift for God. But even 1 Peter says, look, if you're suffering for no reason, that's no good. Pointless suffering has no point. My friends knew this. They celebrated in the joy that I had, but I didn't know this. I let myself feel trapped because I didn't feel trapped. There are so many messages right now about how we are supposed to live in the midst of this pandemic, and a lot of those messages are contradictory. Some of them say we're supposed to spend this time working out and getting in shape. Others say we're supposed to spend this time cooking sourdough bread. Some voices say you should turn off your phone so that you can just be fully present in the moment, reflecting in this time by yourself, while other voices said you should always be on your phone connecting with your friends and family so that no one feels alone. And I can only imagine what it's like for parents right now having to juggle a multitude of expectations. It's easy to feel lost trying to follow all these voices. And it's easy to feel trapped by the expectations that they impose. And that's why Jesus is the gate. You see, the gate's first job is to make sure the sheep can stay in the green pasture that the shepherd has provided to nourish them. And for the gate to do that, the gate needs to block out all the voices of temptation that want to lead the sheep away from the green pasture that has been provided for them. And this is what Jesus does for us. Jesus is the gate. And Jesus says that he is the gate in John chapter 10. And when he says that, he is speaking to religious leaders. He is speaking specifically to the religious leaders who in John chapter 9 kicked a man out of their congregation because he was healed of his blindness on the Sabbath. You see, those religious leaders said, God demands that healing only happens in the ways that we prescribe. And when Jesus healed in a way that didn't meet that prescription, not only did these religious leaders kick Jesus out of their community, they kicked the man that he healed of his blindness out of the community. And so Jesus says to them, I am the gate. And he says, anyone who's not coming through me is a robber and a bandit. What he is saying explicitly is that he has come to set himself between these kind of religious leaders and us. Because he wants us to know that God has placed us in green pastures for healing. And that's where we're supposed to be. You see, Jesus on the cross accomplishes everything that is required for our salvation. Jesus does this as a gift in love freely, and he demands nothing in return. This free gift of love and salvation we call grace. And grace is a gate, because the purpose of grace is to set us free, is to set us free from being worried about what we are supposed to do, so that we are free to give thanks for what God has already done. The goal of grace is to block out all those voices that tell us we have to be somewhere else or doing something else instead of being present in the green pasture and the still waters that God has provided for us. The goal of this quarantine is to keep us safe so that we might be healthy and live well. Now, Other than not sharing germs with one another, the only person who knows what it means for you to have healing in this time is Jesus. Which is why Jesus calls his sheep by name, because Jesus knows each and every one of them as an individual, because each and every one of his sheep have individual needs just like we have individual needs. My individual needs for physical and mental health happen to be hiking and reading and playing games, and I am grateful that I can do all of those without sharing germs. Your needs may be different. Martin Luther spent a year in a room all by himself, not because of a quarantine, but because he had a bounty on his head, and so he had to hide to save his life. And during that time, Luther said, the voice of the devil would come to him constantly and harass and torment him, telling him that he was a sinner either because he was leading people astray or because he wasn't leading people at all by being in hiding. And for Luther, Jesus would come to him and tell him to sing and to pray. And a few times, Luther even, to fight off the devil, threw a pot of ink at a wall. Theoretically, you can actually still see the stain on the wall in the Wartburg Castle today. But to say what Luther found most helpful, when the devil tried to harass him into leaving this pasture that Christ had provided, was that when the devil would say to him, you are a sinner for what you have done and for what you have left undone, Luther would smile. Because as the devil threatened him with this sword of sin, the devil also gave him the sword with which to fight off the devil. Because Luther would say, yes, you're right, devil, I am a sinner. And then he would say, but you know what? Jesus has come to save sinners. And he says that would drive off the devil for the night and he could get a good night's sleep. Now, the devil might come back the next day, but the next day Luther would have that same answer. This is the power of grace. It is the knowledge that Jesus has done everything that is required for us, so that what is required of us is to rejoice in the life that Jesus has given us. Jesus says, I am the gate, and everyone who comes through me will be saved. This is the first purpose of the gate, but the gate has a second purpose. The second purpose of the gate is to open and let the sheep out of the pasture. You see, if the sheep stay too long in that same pasture, what was once green and overflowing with flowers becomes barren and empty, and the sheep starve. And the same is true for us. We need time in green pastures to take care of ourselves, but if we live only for ourselves, eventually even that green pasture becomes barren and empty. And so once again, Jesus is the gate. But not only does he block out those voices who want to lead us astray, when the time comes, he opens and leads us out. Jesus leads us out not to satisfy someone else's demands. Jesus leads us out not because we're itching just to see something new. Jesus leads us out so that we may have life and have it abundantly. And the way that Jesus leads us to abundant life is the way that he walked, the way that he went ahead of us with, which is a life lived in service to others. And we can live this abundant life in service to others no matter our circumstances. Our reading from 1 Peter today is written to a community of Christians suffering persecution. The persecution these early Christians are suffering is not the public executions that will come later in Rome. It is the private abuse and harassment that comes in households and local communities for being different, for not following the ways of the world. 1 Peter is written to people who are slaves serving pagan masters. It's written to Christian wives serving pagan husbands. And what Peter says to these people is, you live in the society in which you feel trapped. You have little to no rights, and there is no hope of change. There's no democracy, there's no voting, there's no northern half of the country to which you can escape to find your freedom. And yet Peter says to these people, you are free. You are free because you have learned to live in the way of Jesus, to follow this good shepherd, who, even when you are suffering, has shown you that when you live for someone else, you have abundant life and freedom in it. Your freedom comes because you are no longer afraid. Your freedom comes because instead of seeking escape through petty pleasures, you now find freedom in having your life exist for serving others. And that is something that can never be taken away from you. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, which we read today, it takes place immediately after the day of Pentecost, when after weeks of hiding in the upper room, the disciples are pushed out into the world by the Holy Spirit. When they go out into the world, they do so not to celebrate or party the fact that they're able to go outside again. They go out into the world to share Jesus' love in word and deed. Acts says that this abundant life that the earliest Christians share is spent connecting to God and connecting to each other. It says that they praised God daily in the temple, that they prayed, that they studied the teaching of the apostles. But they also spent time connecting to one another through fellowship, through the breaking of bread at home. And most surprisingly, through selling their possessions so that they could take care of the material needs of their fellow followers of Jesus. They did this not just for old friends, but they did it for the newcomers who were joining their community day by day. This is what abundant life looks like. Being led out into the world once more, but not so that we can go find crevices in which to hide ourselves by ourselves, but instead going forth as a flock, mutually strengthening and encouraging each other, trusting that we follow the good shepherd who shows us that the greenest pastures come when we are together. And so I am grateful. I am grateful not only that I have a good shepherd who is the gate, who blocks out the voices that try to lead me away from the green pastures that God has provided for me, but I am also grateful that Jesus is the gate who opens to me the way of abundant life through serving you. You see, as much as I rejoice in the mountains I get to go hiking in, the books I read, or the games I play, they would be barren and empty if I didn't know at the end of the day I would come back to share my life with you, to share it praising God and praying, studying scriptures together, breaking bread together, having fellowship together, even if it's through the internet. But even more, I am grateful that I get to serve you and listen to the ways in which you serve one another through writing letters or making masks or teaching your grandchildren to paint rocks and dropping them off in each other's front yards. This is what gives me life more than anything, that Jesus leads me out to be with you in one way or another. Because just as what the pasture looks like for you, only Jesus knows, so too what being led forth into the service of others looks like for you, only Jesus knows the details. That said, I am grateful that many of you have been doing research in these past few weeks to figure out what opportunities are available for us right now when we are ordered to shelter in place, for ways that we can continue to serve our neighbor and find abundant life doing so. In the last part of this service, you will hear about ways coming up in which you can learn how to serve the most vulnerable folks living on the streets through helping the Jesus Center, even right now. You'll learn how you can be a part of sharing your gifts to support the members of our community in material need, and how you can be a part of welcoming people that God is calling into our community that we have yet to meet, even now. You see, Jesus is our gate. He is the one who protects us, who gives us green pastures where we may be nourished and fed, where we may care for ourselves. But Jesus is also the gate that opens up to the world, who leads us out into the abundance of life that can never be found just in one pen. And so, may this good shepherd lead you to green pastures and still waters, and block out any voice that might try to lead you astray. And when the time comes, may this good shepherd open the gate, that you might walk in his ways for righteousness' sake. And that if walking in his ways for the sake of others leads you to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, may you fear no evil, knowing that Christ is with you. And should walking in this way lead you to be surrounded by enemies, may this good shepherd prepare a meal for you and a table, that through the breaking of bread those enemies might become your friends. But whether you are in the pasture or walking on the way, may goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life, and may you dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.